8 a.m. Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM at 1340 a.m., flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference Champion Expansion Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming on the LV Sports Network, and we can be seen on all of our Facebook pages live. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line, and we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. Directly in front of me, manning all the controls, producer and Lotus Broadcasting sports radio personality, Chris Magnum Chapman. And also here is the guy responsible for hooking us up on Facebook Live and works tirelessly to keep us relevant on social media while always making sure to add his dos pesos at every given opportunity is executive producer, co-host, and camera guy, Jose Valonte.
Best camera guy in the business,
baby. In the business. But listen, he's also the host of a great podcast called Straight Bet Sports. It is weekly, but not week, and very soon will be heard on the radio here in Las Vegas. We'll be filling you in on that in the very near future. Check it out for sure. Also here, a special guest today from the sportfanjournal.com. She's the lead college football and basketball writer, also does a national podcast called Sideline Sass, my good friend and regular guest on the show. Second time in studio. To my right on your radio dial is Emily Van Buskirk. And make sure you can check out the show and follow us on Twitter at Out of Line. That's 1340 AM. And on Facebook, it's even easier. Just remember, it's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you got something to say that adds value, the Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340. Use it!
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Bubby's University does bring us What's on Tap, and they are on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, and Bubby's is a great place to watch every game. Jose, what is on tap, my brother?
I'm just happy I work alone, first of all, because we're going to have a packed studio today, so that's going to be real interesting. But, of course, we got the birthday girl in studio today. Joining us, Miss Emily Van Buskirk, lead college football and basketball writer for the sportsjournal.com. We were going to be joined by someone else.
Sportsfanjournal.com.
I'm sorry, sportsfanjournal.com. Excuse me. We were going to be joined by someone else, but she had other engagements to take care of as well. Vegas Golden Knight tickets are getting ready to go on sale, and we'll tell you how you can get your hands on them as well. Playoff dreams died on Friday, unfortunately, for the Las Vegas Aces as the Dallas Wings took them down. We're going to have Sam Gordon, who covered the Aces all season long for the Review Journal here in Las Vegas. He's going to be stopping by and giving us his dos pesos, as Brian likes to call it. If we can find him a mic, hopefully, and get him in one of these chairs over here. Also, if you haven't seen it, the Las Vegas 51s play at Cashman Field, and you are running out of time because this is their final season. They will be there. Not only that, we're going to be talking about the fourth annual Boxing Fan Expo. It's only a few weeks away, and we're going to be telling you all about it. We might even hook you up with some tickets, but for that, you got to listen in. That's what we got, so stick around. I'm Jose Valonte. This is What's on Tap, and What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Go get a drink at Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm
hot. It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. And hey, we are only a couple of weeks away from our first Monday night football party. I'll be there every Monday night. I'm going to try to drag Mr. Valonte with me, Mags, as often as we can, but it's a good time. We give away replica jerseys, wing parties. Hey, they've got two happy hours every day, and we all know it's America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports, so come join us every Monday night during the NFL season. And Emily Van Buskirk in the studio. First of all, again, as Jose said, happy belated birthday.
Well, it's funny because I keep posting it's my birthday, but it's actually tomorrow.
So happy early birthday.
Exactly, but we're celebrating all weekend.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Oh,
right? Gracias. Seriously. I mean, it's like you know, that's the thing with birthdays. Until you get over, like, 35, your birthday goes for, like, a week and a half,
Used to be a month, now it's a week.
Now, at my age, you know what's amazing? I haven't had a birthday in, like, 20 years.
Oh, wow.
At least that's what you're telling yourself.
It doesn't happen anymore. Mag stopped having his birthday about 10 years ago. It just all of a sudden it goes away. You don't have a birthday anymore. Yeah. Jose's about 3 years away from stopping celebrating his.
Enjoy it.
So, you know,
please don't remind me about that, yeah, man.
See, that's the whole thing anymore. You don't even want presents. You just want no acknowledgement.
Yeah, that's understandable. I love your guys' intro, Sports Fan Journal stuff, but I want to just update everyone, say that I did get a new job with Yardbarker.com as part of their college football team. So now I'm going to be out covering college football games for Yardbarker, which I'm really, really excited about.
Bang, there you go.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah, Em's a college guru, football and basketball. Well, come on. And when it comes to the Pac-12, there is nobody that I turn to before Emily to find out what is going on. And speaking about what's going on, we'll move it over to the NFL, because what is blazing is it's football time. Fantasy football. Blazing that you're in studio with us, but you know, Kaylee Krish, of course, Emily's co-host on Sideline Sass, was unable to make it tonight. She has some other obligations here in Las Vegas, and there was something called alcohol that got involved over the course of the weekend. It is an obligation. It's an obligation to stay hydrated, and Kaylee forgot that obligation.
Well, the party line is she's working, and we're, you know, thrilled that she can be here for this conference, and it helps Sideline Sass get better for her to be in her techie world.
Well,
so
she's got a great gig.
She's missing it. She wanted to talk fantasy football. She's been mock drafting like a fiend all weekend.
Well, we're going to get her in here. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL and fantasy football. And, you know, just when it starts off with fantasy football, like everything else, you know, it's quarterback is not by any means always the first person taken. It's usually the star running back or a great wide receiver.
People don't take kickers first?
Yeah, I know, right? Or defenses. Hey, you know what? I, as sick as it is, I have a person about 4 years ago, a story of somebody that actually won a fantasy football league that took their defense in the second round.
That's awesome.
So it just shows you that there's no method to anybody's madness.
So I'm not going
to
tell you what I did last year.
We might want to hear about it a little bit.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, I still say that conversations always start with the quarterback. It really does.
Yeah.
And this year, like many other years, there is a lot of movement with quarterbacks around the National Football League. A lot of rookies will probably play an integral part of their team's offense this year. And starting with some guys that came out of the Pac-12, obviously Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, big names. Yeah. Mags being a diehard New York Jets fan, I think is starting to see a little bit of light with Sam Darnold. I was a personal fan of, I listened to Kirk Herbstreit a while ago say he felt Sam Darnold should stay in school for another year.
I think a lot of us felt that way.
And that Josh Rosen was the most NFL-ready quarterback coming out. I'm not going to say that I feel any different. I think Sam Bradford will be upseated in Arizona before the fourth game. And not necessarily because Josh Rosen upseats him. Sam Bradford will upseat himself. He's been great at that throughout his career. So I'm not worried about that happening. On the other side with the Jets, I wasn't sure that they should throw Sam Darnold right under the fire, but I think that we very well might see that come the beginning of the season now. I think that they know this guy is the future, and I think the Jets are liking what they're seeing in preseason.
I think so.
So I mean, with these two quarterbacks, what was your feeling coming out between Sam Darnold and, and
Rosen. And Rosen. So the best way I can describe this, and this is how I've said it to people, we talked about it during the draft, they're like, what do you like about Rosen? What do you like about Darnold? And the biggest question is, who's better? That's really hard to compare because it's comparing apples to oranges. Josh Rosen is a sports car. He is sleek. He is, you know, smooth. He can deliver.
Cocky.
Some people say he's sexy. I'm not going to go there because he's who he is. But then we got Sam Darnold, and he's like built like a tank. He is a Hummer. He is a truck.
Not sexy. Don't tell me Sam Darnold. I said straight out, I said, look, they're as excited about Sam Darnold coming to New York as they were. They haven't been this excited, put it this way, since Joe Willie Namath.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, guys, maybe he'll play like Joe Willie. Maybe he'll get lucky, but he'll never look like Joe Willie.
No, and he won't.
He's an ugly dude, right? I mean, let's be straight out.
He is not ugly. I think he's adorable, and he speaks very well, and he's the kind of guy you want to be around. Teammates love Sam Darnold. They rally around him like no other. We saw it at USC. It was just so fun to watch. But he's built like a tank. He can take hits. He can, you know, run. He can get through things. So that's the big difference with them. You hit Josh Rosen, he's going down, and he's a little bit of a prima donna. When he was at UCLA, he had so many issues with the offensive coordinator. Anytime that person who left eventually said, do this, he would run to Jim Moore and say, this person told me to do this and I don't want to do it. So people
a
have
whiner.
Yeah, exactly. And we've all seen the hot tub in his dorm room. I think that pretty much sums it up. So I'm Sam Darnold.
Well, he's got rich parents too. I mean, come on, Josh Rosen has rich parents.
A lot of them have rich. I mean, some quarterbacks.
A lot of them do, because to afford to go to all the camps they've gone to growing up, their parents had to shell it out. They weren't getting NFL money that way. I don't know. I think up in the air. My feeling is Josh Rosen is going to turn out to be a better NFL quarterback over time. That's just my thought. But I'll tell you what, a guy that might be better than both of them, huge uproar at the NFL draft when Baker Mayfield was taken first by the Cleveland Browns. Emily, you've been a big fan of Baker Mayfield from day one. I like the guy's moxie. I really do. And I'll tell you what, he has looked better, at least in preseason, for the Cleveland Browns than a quarterback has in a long time. I still think that Tyrod Taylor should be the guy coming out of the gate for them and let him learn underneath him a little bit. But I think there is a huge upside to Baker Mayfield because he has the one intangible that is immeasurable, and that's heart. Yeah. And you know, and unlike Johnny Football, who's over in Montreal trying to figure things out, hopefully he's off drugs, I don't know, but Baker Mayfield is not Johnny Manziel. This is a guy who has football in his blood, and it comes first and foremost. Not partying, not the upside. Yeah, Baker Mayfield likes the attention. They all do. Yeah. But I really think this kid could turn out to be something special.
I agree. And when I was at the Heisman and I was covering that whole thing, you know, I got to spend some time with Mayfield, and he is a great person. He's really good with the media. He's really good with people around him. And when people would compare him to Johnny Football, that would drive me nuts because that's such a lazy comparison to reach for.
It's terrible.
He did act like him a little bit during the season. He had his moments where he grabbed his crotch and, you know,
but that's just passion. What football player wouldn't do that?
What athlete doesn't grab their crotch?
Come
I want to know that
time.
First and foremost. Jeez. I mean, find me a sport. Bowlers, for God's sakes, grab their crotch these days.
Hey, and we know you know a thing or two about ranked bowlers, because I remember one time you had one on your show.
Oh, God, are we going to go back to the Marty Rodic days? Sorry, did I say that out loud on the radio? Okay, go ahead, Em.
No, the one thing I like about what we've seen from Mayfield so far is the fact that he looks very comfortable in the pocket. His footwork is great. He looks like he belongs there, and he has such a appetite for the game. He just soaks up everything he can. He listens to every coach, and he actually executes the advice that they give him, and I think that's what's so valuable. He's another guy that people want to rally around. You know what I mean? So when he gets in, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see it sooner rather than later, it's going to be such a turnaround for that team, and they need it. You know what I mean? They
need it. Something else they need, and he's now allowed to hang around at practice.
Uh-huh.
Josh Gordon is back in camp with the Cleveland Browns. He's not allowed to practice yet. They're going to cut down his marijuana juices. He's going to be allowed to smoke an ounce a week now, and that will get... I mean, seriously, Josh Gordon is an unbelievably talented wide receiver. Can we all agree on that this guy has mad NFL skills? But the problem is the hookah is very important to him as well. And I don't know if he can leave that alone for an entire NFL season. He checked himself into a rehabilitation center, as we all know, this past spring, summer. And I'm guessing the NFL is more involved than we know in a decision like that. Josh Gordon doesn't seem to me the guy with the personality that is going to check himself into a rehabilitation center. I mean, he's like on his fourth strike now with the NFL. But if they can get a guy like Josh Gordon for Baker Mayfield, what an incredible asset he is going to be to this team. And if they can get the running game going and get it more productive than it was, per se, last couple of seasons, this team could be formidable. They've got a decent offensive line. They've definitely improved defensively. And I'm not going to say the Browns are not going to be one of the lower echelon teams or even make the playoffs this year. I am saying we're going to see an improved Cleveland Browns team. And if Baker Mayfield does do all the things that he's capable of doing, and there is this upside that we think of, the Browns could be a decent team in a couple years. But the question is, we're talking fantasy football. Do you touch Baker Mayfield this year?
Oof.
No,
I do. You're not going to touch
him. Last pick in the NFL draft. No, a couple years ago.
Here you go. Here's why.
Okay.
You take him late because you know he's not going to start the season.
Right. That's true.
The other thing is he's got some weapons. And he's got, and you know what? He's also got leadership in that wide receiver core, because if you've watched Hard Knocks at all, See, Jarvis Landry has...
Come on. Landry's just putting on a show, man. Let's be real.
Listen, Jarvis Landry led the NFL in catches last year.
He's a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
I'm not saying he's not good, but he's not a leader. Let's be real.
No, he's got mental issues. Him and Josh Gordon.
He stepped up, and he's taken leadership role in that locker room.
He has caused issues in Miami.
Well, he had Ryan Tannehill, who's not a real quarterback.
I'm not going to disagree with that at all, man. I've never been a Tannehill fan. He's had two bad coaches.
I don't know if Adam Gase is a good or bad coach, but the guy before him was terrible.
Right.
So, you know, I think Baker Mayfield, you take a flyer on him. You know, 9th, 10th round.
What I said, I drafted you a couple years back. I drafted in his rookie season Cam Newton with the last pick in the NFL draft in my fantasy goal draft. I won my league that year thanks to Cam Newton.
There you
so
go.
You just don't know. That's what my point is. I think he is a guy worth taking. You're going to get him in the last round.
Yeah.
So why not jump on him? I mean, if you're looking at a quarterback, I mean, the top quarterback, and it's funny this year in the NFL draft, it is crazy how far down ESPN has their first quarterback ranked, and I'm looking right now to let you know how far down it is. Believe it or not, the top quarterback wouldn't surprise you. It's Aaron Rodgers, but do you know where they've got him projected going in the ESPN draft? 58th.
Oh, wow.
58th, and right behind him is Tom Brady. And I'm going to tell you this, speaking of Tom Brady, I've been saying this for a little while. I really believe that we are going to see a different Tom Brady this year,
really?
And not a Tom Brady different in a good way.
Okay.
I just got a bad feeling, and I'm not going to go into it. I don't wish ill will on anyone, especially Tom. Terrific. I'm not going to say anything bad about the guy. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League.
Okay.
And, you know, statistically, if it comes to rings, he's the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that there's a certain age where you hit this wall.
Yeah.
And I remember, like I've said it a bunch of times, go back and check it out, people, in Sports Illustrated on the front cover years ago, it showed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar taking a skyhook, and the Lakers were getting ready to go into the championship series against the Detroit Pistons in 1988, and it showed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the skyhook, and it said, "Doing fine at 39. You know what it said a year later? Just won't go at the big 4-0. That's what happens, people. You fall off at this age. The wheels come off and you don't even realize it. One day you're running and there they go. One wheel goes one way, the other goes the other way, and you're on your face. I don't know that Tom Brady's going to have that kind of fall.
No.
I'm worried about his health at this age. Yeah, the health could be a problem. He's been healthy for a while. We haven't seen Tom Brady go down really since the knee injury years ago, and we forget it was 9 seasons ago or 8 seasons ago that he had complete reconstructive knee surgery, and we forget all about that because of his career after that. But
and don't forget, they just lost their starting offensive lineman, rookie number one draft pick, with a torn Achilles tendon. So
huge blow.
I'm not sure if he was going to plug in on the left or the right side, but
probably the right side this year.
And Nate, that was a shoulder.
They did lose Nate Solder.
Nate Solder as well. And the bottom line is they start the season without Julian Edelman at wide receiver with the substance abuse
policy.
That was
a whole, that whole situation's weird too.
Yeah.
Weird. You know, as much as I'm a Patriot hater,
I don't like the fact that
NFL is kind of like, well, we're not really sure what you tested positive for, but we're going to suspend you anyway. Well, that's why there's going to be a work stoppage in a couple of years because the league is... It's a mess. And then the stupid new tackle rule that they have.
No,
did you see the sack in the Vikings game last night?
It was so bad. They're saying he drove him into the ground afterwards, like extra oomph with his shoulder. I saw it when you watch it in slow motion. There's a little bit about that, but please, people, this is the NFL, and I've been saying this, Mags. You heard me say this recently on the show, Jose. I'm really worried that in like 5 years from now, before the games, we're going to see the NFL players not wearing helmets and attaching flags before the game, and I'm getting really scared about it. And these aren't going to be officiating flags, people. You're going to make tackles by pulling flags. We're getting to that point. I'm sorry. It is a violent, brutal game. It is the modern-day gladiatorial event.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not going out there and having to fight lions, but it is a brutal sport, and they are very heavily compensated for this sport.
Right.
I do understand, and one of the biggest arguments I have with people is you can't make life decisions at 20 and 21 years old. You're not capable of it. We're not mature enough. So we don't think about at 21 that we feel indestructible at that age. So we don't look at the fact that what are the repercussions of playing in the National Football League 20 years down the road. None of us look at that. Then we look at a guy like Jim McMahon now, we're like, wow, is that what's going to happen? Yeah, it's what's going to happen. But you know what? You and your family are going to be very well taken care of. You know that this is what the game is. And it's unfortunate because, again, you can't make these life decisions, but you also have to realize this is what it is when you make this kind of money. There's no way to easily make a seven-figure income or a high six-figure income. It's part of the game.
I think we're definitely seeing, though, this next generation of players pull back in the sense that they aren't playing as long. They're retiring earlier. And then you have guys that are completely foregoing the draft. People are saying that Bryce Love, I mean, this is the word, that Bryce Love will not go to the NFL. He will become a doctor because he knows he's on the end of the spectrum where he knows what he's doing to his body because he's studying it. Do you know what I mean? So we're seeing a different breed now, I think, moving forward. You saw the Washington State quarterback who recently committed suicide. When they opened his brain up, he was 20, 21, 65-year-old brain. That's what it looked like with the CT.
People don't take
and he's a quarterback.
Which is protected in practice. Exactly. No, great.
So, well, and then you now have, there was a high school in Virginia right outside of Manassas High School, I think it was. Mm-hmm. They actually canceled their entire football season. Yeah. I mean, I look at one of my best friends, his kid is 13 years old. He's a freshman in high school right now up in Utah. This kid has had so many injuries already, broken bones. He's had concussions. And, I mean, he loves playing the game. But,
At what cost?
Yeah, my kid will never strap a football helmet on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jake did, and it was definitely weird as a father. I all of a sudden understood what my mother was going through because my mother boycotted football all the way through. From Little League to high school, my mother saw me play one game my entire life, and doesn't it figure the game she came to, I kind of got hurt a little bit. So that was it. You know, it was just done.
Confirmed all your fears.
Everyone. But watching my son when Jake took his first big pop as a father, I was like, whoa. Yeah. All of a sudden, it was okay for me, but it wasn't okay for him. And I get it. But again, it is a choice, and you become a celebrity. You live like you would never live in your life before or after if you do this for a living. And I'm sorry. I'm still going to be under the point is it's football.
It is
this game. And I really believe, Mags, I think that when you play this game and you try to hold up is when you really take a chance on getting hurt. Football is a game of reckless abandon. And I think if you are trying to pull up on a tackle, you're trying to hit someone in a certain way, you're trying to be careful, let's put it that way, in a game of reckless abandon, Brandon, let's be careful. Well, you are risking serious injury.
The point you make, I worry, you know, I don't really worry as much now about the offensive players. I worry about the defensive player.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who's attempting to not tackle the guy. You know,
move his head to one side so he doesn't run into the guy's head. And then next thing you know, he paralyzes himself.
There were two instances last night in the Jacksonville, Minnesota game, Friday night. In the Jacksonville, Minnesota game where there was a sack and then there was another defensive, I think it was a pass interference call or maybe a personal foul for a targeting a helpless receiver. But you can't take that out of the game. I'm sorry. Because if you do that, you're risking injury to the defender. You can't just want to protect the offensive players. And that's the problem. You know, we've always seen it too, where the game is geared towards the offensive players. They want high scores. You know, teams are allowed to hold. Offensive players are allowed to do other sorts of things. And eventually they've taken things like chop blocks out of the game. I mean, remember the Broncos under Mike Shanahan? The offensive linemen would do that role. And they would go at defensive linemen's knees. That was disgraceful.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was ridiculous. But again, that, you know, they took that out of the game. Yeah. Again, the biggest problem to me is you can't have these guys not playing full out and balls out in the National Football League.
If you pull up, you're going to do worse.
Exactly right. I think we are going to see more injuries by guys trying to tackle properly because football is not a game where you have time to think. It is a game of reaction and a quick reaction. And these are big men hitting. You just can't simply start thinking, oh, my God, I got to hit him this way. The minute you start thinking is when you get seriously injured. And I'm seriously worried about that. Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to do fact this. We've got a lot of stuff. We've got Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review Journal that just popped in. We're going to talk a little bit about the WNBA as well. We'll get to some more football. And I got to let them know about the tickets coming in. Tickets go on sale, I think, tomorrow for Vegas Golden Knights. Single game preseason tickets and single game tickets. So you might want to jump on that as well. We'll fill you in. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact Alabama junior quarterback Jalen Hurts, who started the national championship game in each of his first two seasons with the Crimson Tide, may very well start this season on the bench. This, in my opinion, is a smart move. We'll call him Tua because I can't get his last name right when every time I try it. He's the reason they won the national championship this year, and he's their best bet going forward. Emily, your thoughts?
I like Tua. I think he's great. I think they're both great, and I think if there's ever a time that we're going to see guys do different things for one great team, this is it. I don't think he should transfer. I think he should ride it out and have Saban make him the player that he could be. Like, I don't think we're going to not see him do great things.
The thing is, he's only got two more years of eligibility, and so does Tua. I don't see Tua going anywhere. I saw clearly when he came into the national championship game against Georgia, they were a different offensive football team.
They were.
And the Crimson Tide, in my opinion, were a better football team with Tua on the field. And I think that we're going to see this guy play. But to me, it's an amazing thing when a true freshman comes in like Jalen Hurts, starts right away, which is a very rare thing to happen in Alabama.
Yeah.
And he loses two games in his first two seasons. One of them was the national championship game, and another one, it turned out to be a meaningless game earlier in the season. But the bottom line is, this kid was a starter in his first 2 years. They go to national championships, and now he's going to be benched. How rare is something like that, really?
I mean, it is rare to have that kind of problem where you can bench one of your best
players.
Problem?
What an oxymoron that word is, right?
Well, that's what I mean. It's champagne problems, really. Yeah, and that's seriously the only kind that Nick Saban ever has. But I honestly, fully, with my whole heart, believe that we're going to see a kind of dual system where he plays both guys. I think it's something that has been long for the college football world. I think a couple teams actually have the ability this year to do so. And I think once it happens, it's going to blow people's minds. People aren't going to know what to do. But then they're going to say, oh, yeah, we believed in this the whole time. Because it's Nick Saban. You're not going to not agree with him when he does stuff. But they're both talented, and they're both talented in different ways. And they add different things when you play different teams. So
two is better.
He's different. It's like I said, you're comparing two different styles of play.
He's better.
Okay.
All right. So you know, speaking of Nick Saban, we'll get through this pretty quickly, but when does Nick Saban get caught for cheating? Everyone else is getting caught for cheating. You know Nick Saban's doing it. There's not a coach, a D1 Power 5 coach, that isn't cheating in some way, shape, or form. Urban Meyer wasn't caught for cheating.
No,
Urban Meyer was caught for something else, and I don't know that he's going to lose his job yet, although he probably should.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, and we're not going to go into this right now, but if you listen to, and I know you've listened to the show, Nick, the first person to dance on Rick Pitino's grave was Urban Meyer. The first person jumped all over it, said, anybody who lies like that should never coach again. Yeah. Wow, Urban. How does that foot taste? Your toenail's got to be long and gross by now. But Nick Saban, does the guy ever get caught, or is he the god of college coaching, and he will walk away squeaky clean, and eventually they will be called the Alabama Crimson Saban Tide?
That would be amazing. I'm all for that name change. But no, we're not going to see him get in any sort of trouble, because this is what we talked about, is loyalty is so big in these programs. He has people around him. I have a friend that was an SID there, worked for him for a couple years, and he told me that they used to play pickup basketball games, right? And because Saban loves pickup basketball, but he would have the teams divided up at his behest. He would then decide what was a foul, what was not. And if you defended him too hard, he'd be like, no, that's sit down. Like, no. And people would buy into that because they love him. They love the program. So if he ever did anything wrong, we'll never hear about it. And that's all that matters.
Crimson Saban Tide.
That's great.
That's going to be their name.
Sounds like playing pickup basketball with Floyd Mayweather. I've seen that take place a few times over at a gym that I've used to go to, and there were like, remember the Jordan rules?
Oh yeah,
there were the Mayweather rules as well. So yeah.
Well, there's definitely Nick Saban rules
without question, and probably justifiably so. Yeah. I mean, if anybody deserves to have their own rules, I don't think anybody in the country would argue that it'd be Nick Saban. Listen, real quickly, I just want to tell you about the Las Vegas 51s, guys. And this is the Las Vegas 51s report. They're out of this world. Remember, this is the last season that the 51s will be playing in downtown Las Vegas at Cashman Field. If you want to ever see them play down there, it is is also the last season they will be affiliated with the New York Mets. Check them out. They are running out of time. We'll have some tickets to give away on next week's show again. But they're in town, I believe, this week, Tuesday, yeah, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Salt Lake.
They're playing Salt Lake. They're out of town, and then next week they're back again to play Tacoma. And then they wrap up against Sacramento the first 3 days in September. Man, get your tickets now. Check them out. 51s. They are out of this world. And like I said, great times. Thursday night's Dollar Beer Night. Ooh. Friday night is fireworks. And I'll tell you what, their firework display, I've said it for years, is it rivals Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they definitely put some money, time, and effort into it. Definitely check it out and get down there. New stadium next year, going to be out in Summerlin, real close to the practice facility, City National Arena, where the Golden Knights practice. But I'm looking forward to that, but don't miss out. It's really cool to see these games and see the skyline from Cashman Field. So 51's report again brought to you by the Las Vegas 51's Mag. Let's take a real quick break. We'll come back with Nightcap. And again, we got Sam Gordon here to talk WNBA, which is pretty cool. The Aces this close to the playoffs. Out of line. We'll be right back.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, the Golden Knights preseason and regular season tickets will be available very soon. It was announced on Friday. Four packs for its four preseason home games will go up for sale tomorrow at noon, and single game tickets for all its preseason and regular season will be accessible August 27th at noon. Tickets will be available at NHL.com /Golden Knights/tickets. The Golden Knights four preseason games are at 5 p.m. September 16th against the Arizona Coyotes, at 7 p.m. September 24th against the Colorado Avalanche, 7 p.m. September 28th against the Los Angeles Kings, and 5 p.m. Saturday 30th against the San Jose Sharks. The team will give away a collectible puck at each preseason game, each recognizing one of the team's award winners from last season. General Manager George McPhee, who was, by the way, General Manager Coach of the Year, or General Manager of the Year and Coach of the Year, Gerard Gallant won the Jack Adams Award. William Carlson, Lady Bing Memorial Trophy, and of course, Derek England won the Mark Messier Leadership Award. Those will be the ones appearing on the puck, so pretty cool, and check that out. Tickets available. Joining us now, to my left on your radio dial, is Sam Gordon with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Sam covered the beat for the WNBA, and Sam, I got to tell you, I've been hearing you on ESPN. You do a pretty good job on radio, man. That's the only reason none of us are happy you're in town, because another guy to jump in and start replacing us, you know? But Sam, damn good, man. Happy to have you here. Like your articles. Talk to me about the WNBA. How disappointed do you think they are to come so close to the playoffs after a 1-7 start?
Well, I think for sure there was a little bit of immediate disappointment, but reflecting on the year they had, I mean, I think they really exceeded expectations. I mean, a lot of people forget, because, you know, there's a rebrand, Asia Wilson's in town, there's a lot of things going on. This was the worst team in the WNBA last year. They were 8-26. They were not competitive for most of the year last year. So when Bill Laimbeer took the job, he knew this was going to be a longer, you know, this is a rebuild. This is going to take some time for him to install his systems, for him to put the players he wanted out there. And to even be this close to a playoff spot in year one, I think you have to look at that from a neutral perspective and say it was a success.
So it was a successful season overall.
For sure. To have a do or die game with two games left to be in position to control your destiny and possibly make the playoffs, yeah, definitely a success. And then there's after the game, just talking with players and talking with Bill, there's a lot of optimism still. I mean, everybody, save for two players, the entire rotation is 26 or younger. This is one of the youngest teams in the league. So there's to be this good, to be this competitive at this level right away with everybody coming back, there's a lot of optimism, a lot, I think, for Aces fans to look forward to.
Well, one of the things, Sam, in all fairness to how bad they were last year before they came over and became the Las Vegas Aces, was there's a new face on this team, and her name's Asia Wilson. You mentioned her recently, and I mean, she is truly a difference maker. I'm looking at her right now, and I don't know the WNBA like you do, like maybe Tim Unglesby does, who covers it a lot. Check him out in Heatwave Sport. He knows the WNBA really well as well. But I'd say right now she's, what, about the third best player in the league already as a rookie. And within the next couple of years, Asia Wilson, just her physical makeup. You can see her presence and her dominance on the court. I think Jose mentioned during the game that she reminded him of like a female version of like a Tim Duncan on the court, the way she dominates. How important is she not only to the Las Vegas Aces but to the WNBA?
Well, I think just in year one with her personality, she's very authentic, very comfortable in her own skin, very outgoing. She has a super big personality to go along with her game, and I think that as the league tries to build its profile and establish long-term national relevance, you need somebody like her. The league needs somebody like her. Not only do the Aces, but the league does, just because what she brings on and off the court. And I think, like you said, she's already one of the handful, you know, one of the top players in the league. I was super impressed with Friday. She in that game, she's going up against Liz Cambage, who, in my opinion, is right currently the best player in the league right now, just watching her dominate. She had 43-13 for the Dallas Wings. Asia Wilson had 34 points in the biggest game of her career up to this point on the road. Hostile environment. She goes 15 of 20 from the field. So, like you said, she's already so tremendously skilled and athletically, she's one of the top athletes in the league. And that package has allowed her to get 21 points and 8 rebounds a game as a rookie at the highest level. So she's like a foundational piece, a franchise, like a centerpiece of this team moving forward, and a reason why I expect within the next 2 to 3 years that the Aces are going to be a perennial championship contender.
Really, I believe that as well. I think next year you'll see a dramatic improvement. You're definitely looking at a future playoff team.
For sure.
And I really like that. One thing I wanted to ask you about, and it's been big talk this year, especially since the canceled game because of the commercial flight being delayed and they canceled the WNBA game this year. The big talk has been the money in the WNBA, and you hear a lot of the players, and there's been a bigger push this year saying, you know, they should be flying, that some of the teams can afford to fly privately, but since they all can't, they've got to be on even playing ground, so they all have to fly commercially. I'm not the even playing ground thing, I'm not totally disagreeing with. What I am saying to the WNBA is this: look, quit complaining. Number one, you don't draw close to what the NBA does. Yes, you have all the same sponsors that are paying way less because they can. What do you think, Sam, about going after sponsorships, female sponsorships? I don't think there's anything degrading about it, but what about, and people laugh when I say it, what about Tampon as a sponsor? I mean, how much money would they pay to be one of the faces of the WNBA? And all of a sudden, if they kick a ton of money that way, things start to change. Go after different sponsors. Why are you going after all the same sponsors that the NBA is when you know you're never going to get that kind of revenue out of those sponsors?
Well, that's one thing I touched on. I did a story on that in July just about what type of things can happen.
I know, that's where I kind of stole my stuff from.
What type of things can happen in order for... I don't think, first and foremost, I don't think... Yeah, it's a conversation right now, right? Like what these women want to be paid more, and understandably so. But it's not so much that they want to be paid anywhere close to as much as the men. It's more so the percentage of the revenue, and that's something that they're going to have to figure out with the next CBA, because I think the men get more than half the revenue, and the women are getting like 20%. Granted, there's not nearly as much, so the owners are going to want to take home more of the revenue, as much revenue as they can from the WNBA, but it's more so a percentage thing, an equality thing in that standpoint. To your point about sponsorships, I think that's a great point. I think that's definitely something that the WNBA wants to add is more.
I'm going to go get a marketing job for the Aces, and I'm going right after Tampon. I'm going to go after makeup foundation thing. I mean, things that are associated with women that will help them generate more revenue. I just don't understand why they haven't figured that out yet from a marketing standpoint. Doesn't it just make sense?
Yeah, it's a great point, and that's something I actually haven't heard before. Those particular types of sponsorships, but I know that the league wants to continue to build its profile. It's been this year, in terms from a viewership perspective, national TV games, national TV, like All-Star game, it's been more successful than it has been since like 2011 or 2012. There's more and more people starting to watch, but in order for that revenue to pick up, it's like you said, it's going to have to make a dramatic shift, and there's going to have to be even more and more viewership moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, these girls understand their money's made in Europe. They are rich. They are rich from playing in Europe, and then they come here to visit their family and to kind of be a little bit of stars in the WNBA, but they know their money is made overseas, right?
Yeah. Actually, quite a bit more overseas.
And a lot more. I mean, they're stars over there.
Yeah, definitely, but the WNBA as a whole is I mean, you want to play in the States because, first and foremost, you know, these players are going to different countries. I think there's a restriction of how many Americans can be on each team. So you're going to a different place. There's a language barrier. It's you're there for 8 or 9 months. You're away from your family. Trust me, if they don't want to do this, I mean, it's not something that they're looking forward to doing other than from the financial standpoint that there's more money over there. So I think long-term, just talking with players and stuff like that, they're trying to get the conversation started now so maybe future generations don't have to spend 9 months in a foreign country to make their living.
Great point. And, of course, we got the WNBA All-Star Game coming here next year, which should also call more attention because Vegas just does that. And we'll see more of that. I think the WNBA, man, 21, 22 years, man, you've got to respect the resiliency and their ability to hang around, and I've done that. By Sam Gordon. It's capital. Definitely follow him on Twitter. It is at MLNEM is yours, but also at Sideline Sass as well, right? They can follow the show. Mm-hmm. Okay, those things. I appreciate you guys. We'll wrap things up here in a few with them. I also, right now on the line, we've got a friend of mine, Alonzo, and he is the promoter for what's coming up here, the 4th annual Box Fan Expo. It's in a couple of weeks coming up here in Las Vegas. It is a great time. Everything you can imagine about boxing, and a lot of fighters will walk around there. Before we do that, it's 876-1340. Give me a call right now. We're going to give away 4 pairs of admissions to the Box Fan Expo right now, so give us a call for that. And also, Alonzo, what's going on, my friend? Oh, man, we lost him. All right, well, Mags will try to get him back again.
Sounds like my morning.
Well, no, yeah, right. But no, the Box Fan Expo, this thing is really cool, guys. It's going on here in a couple of weeks from right now. It has been here in Vegas again. It will be the 4th annual. And anyone you can imagine, Tyson shows up, Tommy Hearns. I mean, all kinds of fighters. We'll have a few on the show here as well. And it is taking place, I think it is the 14th of it's Saturday the 15th of September. It's also Mexican Independence Weekend here in Las Vegas. It's going to be at the Las Vegas Convention Center from 8 to 5 p.m. And we're going to get you right now. It is the ultimate boxing fan experience event. And it also coincides with a major fight that's coming up as well.
Triple G Canelo,
man.
Rematch. Yeah,
and,
we need that.
Maybe some better judging at this fight.
I would hope so. Please. I was at the first one. It was unbelievable.
Hey, there he is. We got you, Alonzo.
Yes, I'm here.
There you are, man. Tell us about this event, man. You go ahead and talk about it. You can do it a lot more justice. The 4th annual. We're giving away the 4 pairs of tickets, admission seats to get in. But go ahead. Give us a nice soliloquy on this event.
So basically, the BoxFanExpo.com, you can check out the website. We got the biggest boxing convention in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Convention Center, Saturday, September 15th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where we're going to have all the biggest boxing stars. It's going to be a huge boxing fan experience. A lot of people, they call it the Super Bowl of boxing, where you're going to have over 30 to 50 top boxing superstars, and it's going to be the biggest meet and greet. We got fighters in the past that came, like Floyd Mayweather came last year. We had also Mike Tyson that came in the previous expos, Roberto Duran, Roy Jones, Marco Antonio Barrera, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Sergio Martinez. We got the biggest fighters and so many more. And this year, we're doing the expo on the same day as the Canelo Triple G fight rematch, which is going to be at T-Mobile. It's going to be huge, so we're expecting thousands of fans like every year. And we do this for the fans, for the boxing community. We're going to have also many top boxing companies this year, like Mayweather Promotions, Premier Boxing Champions. They're going to bring over many of their fighters. We're going to have the WBC with their own booth, the WBA. They're going to bring some of their legends at their booth as well. This year, we have already commitments from Tommy Hearns, Fernando Vargas, Eric Morales, Badu Jack, Jesse Vargas, David Benavidez and his brother Jose, James Lights Out Tony. It's going to be incredible. We have such an incredible response every year from the boxing fans. And you can go to BoxFanExpo.com to get your tickets. And the 4 pair of tickets you're giving out today, it's a real treat because we already almost sold out. So we're also going to have this year, for the first time, a BoxFan Expo Invitational. Some of the top USA Boxing amateur fighters They're going to be present, fighting some of the best fighters. So imagine, for the first time, the best amateur fighters under the same roof with all these top boxing superstars, and that's going to give them a huge inspiration. So you got to go to BoxFanExpo.com, get your tickets, and come down to check out also the amateurs.
Looking very forward to it. Again, that's Saturday, September the 15th. You can check that out, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. How much are general admission tickets, and how do they get them, Alonzo?
Right now, they're $30 online, early bird tickets. Yes, the prices will go up. You better get them now because the prices will go up. They'll be more expensive at the door. But if you go to the BoxFanExpo.com website, you can get them right now at $30. When you go inside, you see over 30 top companies. So you imagine you're walking in, and you see all these fighters. You walk in, you see Tommy Hearns. You walk in, you see Fernando. There's a lot of fighters. Eric Morales. Every week, we're going to be announcing more and more fighters. We got surprises. Every week, we're going to be announcing some more of the legends and some of the top superstars. Next week, we'll have a big surprise coming up. Two, three, four, five of the top boxers are going to be there. We don't want to announce all of it, because we want to keep it a little bit of a surprise for all the fans.
It's going to be a really exciting event. I think all the fans are going to be surprised and excited about who's going to be there. Looking forward to it as well. Listen to some of the names. James Lights Out Tony. I once had an opportunity to interview Jackie Callen, his former manager, which is really cool, when James was coming up. And, of course, Tommy Hitman Hearn out of Detroit, man. Both those guys out of the Kronk Gym. So looking forward to that. Hope maybe even get them on the air. Lonzo, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you again next week. Giving away 100%. Four tickets today. And we'll give away four pairs of admission tickets next week as well. It is the Box Fan Expo, again, September the 15th at the
Convention Center. And don't forget, it's on the same day as the Canelo Triple G fight. So it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. People come before the fight. Once you finish the expo, after that, you can go to the Triple G weekend. So it's a whole boxing experience for that day where the fans are going to have a big treat.
Appreciate you very much. Lonzo, we'll talk to you next week, man. We'll pump this up some more.
Thank you very much. See you there.
Absolutely. And again, that's the Box Fan Expo coming up in a couple weeks. Guys, as we wrap things up here, final thoughts. Emily, Sam, appreciate the two of you joining the show. Coming up, we have the NFL season right around the corner. We're looking forward to that. Final WNBA game. I guess you're going to be there this afternoon at the Mandalay Bay Events Center, huh?
Yeah, this is it. Season flew by. Again, I think tonight's fan appreciation night at Mandalay Bay Events Center, 3 o'clock game, and they're giving away hats and stuff like that. So just MGM, I thought from a neutral perspective, has done a really, really good job promoting the team and making it an enjoyable fan experience. I was really, really impressed with that in year one.
No, it's cool the way they did everything. T.C. Martin, man, doing the play-by-play, did a pretty good job this year as well. Cool stuff. Emily, who's going to win, USC or UNLV? Come on, tell the audience that we're in Vegas.
Oh, God.
What's the score?
Got to go with UNLV, right?
I'm going to say that because, USC, this is a down year, but...
Me and Jose are getting UNLV matching tattoos if UNLV beats USC, okay?
I don't have
a tattoo on my body. So I was going to say I'd walk to L.A., but I would die doing that. So.
One of the last things I wanted to plug was the A's. We didn't talk about it, but the A's, the Oakland A's, one of my favorite baseball teams, been having the best turnaround in sports, 11.5 games back. Now they're tied with Houston, started from the bottom. Now they are here. So I want to say shout out to the Athletics.
Moneyball.
Yeah.
Moneyball. Hey, this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. I'm Brian Feldman for Jose Vellante, Sam Gordon, Emily Van Buskirk, Chris Magnum Chapman. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.